for the director of music with stringed instruments, a psalm, a song. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine on us, so that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you rule the peoples with equity and guide the nations of the earth. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. The land yields its harvest. God, our God, blesses us. May God bless us still, so that all the ends of the earth will fear him.
Good morning, and let me add my welcome as well. My name's Ian Stewart, and it's I'm one of the members of the church here. Quite familiar to people who come on a regular basis, I think. So it's my privilege this morning to be able to share Psalm 67 with you. And as I'm sorting myself out, I'll put the other mic on. Right. We sang, got your problem, Craig. It's that the Carnegie Hall effect. So, hopefully it's not too booming for you. So it was good that we sang Speak, O Lord, as we come to you to receive the food of your holy word. Take your truth and plant it deep in us. I was reading Psalm 87 and I was reading Psalm 88. It was Psalm 68. Psalm 86. Looking for where it said. It was something that really spoke to me this morning in Psalm 86, which was, "Teach me your way, Lord, that I may rely on your faithfulness. Give me an undivided heart, that I may fear your name. I will praise you, Lord my God, with all my heart. I will glorify your name forever." And that is my prayer this morning. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would give us hearts that are teachable, hearts that are inspired by your word, hearts that are lifted, and eyes that are turned to Jesus this morning, that you would just lift our hearts, that you would just help us to see Jesus and help us to glorify your name as we look into your word. We thank you for this psalm, Lord, and we pray that you would just really write it on our hearts, Lord, that it might be our psalm, it might be our song of praise. Amen. Just swap my books around. So hopefully we're going to start with a quiz. You like quizzes, don't you? So here you go, easy one. What are they? Lighthouses, yes. Now's a hard question, where are they? Come on then. Any guesses as to where these two lighthouses are? By the coast. ish for one of them. One of them is definitely on the coast. Right, the one on the left is Fastnet Lighthouse. And the one on the right, any guesses? This is one that is dear to my heart and dear to Helen's heart as well, because it's Sunderland. That's Roker Pier. So it's it's a lighthouse at Roker in Sunderland. Now, what are lighthouses there for?
Warning.
Now there you go. Warning. Interesting you chose that, the verb to warn. Because actually, they're there to guide. They are there to guide. So the Fastnet Lighthouse is there to guide shipping away from dangerous rocks, which are not actually on the coast. They are stuck out in the Atlantic Ocean, off the southwest coast of Ireland. And so they are there. It is there. Yes, it is a warning that there's rocks there, but it's a guide to guide, steer ships away from those rocks. And the second one is actually a light to guide shipping. Because what it does is it guides shipping into the safe harbour of Sunderland Harbour. It's a guide into a safe haven. So it's not warning people away, it's guiding them in. Now when I read today's psalm, it reminds me of a lighthouse. The psalm, if you look at it, the psalm is built, it's got a symmetrical structure, building its way up to the top, which is in the middle, verse 4, and then working its way back down again. So see how verse 1 is mirrored by verse 7, verse 2 by verse 6, and then we get this repeated refrain in verses 3 and 5, which lead us up to the focal point of verse 4. So as the people sing the song, it's like climbing up a tower from the bottom up to the top and then coming back down the other side. And the psalm is all about the light of God. And in verse 4, it gives us the reason for people's joy and under God's rule and guiding light. Now, the Bible is full of references to light. For the Israelites who would sing this psalm, their minds, unlike mine, they wouldn't be drawn to lighthouses, but they would be drawn to the temple and the menorah, the seven-lamp lampstand. In the Hebrew, the title instructions are actually classed as verse 1, but the psalm actually has seven significant verses, seven being the number of perfection, of completion, and it's the number of lamps in the menorah. And some Jews write this psalm out in the shape of the menorah. Now, God dwelt amongst his people, but because of their sin, they couldn't see his face. So his presence was shielded by a thick curtain in the temple. And immediately outside the curtain was the menorah, which was kept lit constantly, symbolizing the face of God shining on his people. And as the people sing this song, they start by praying that the Lord's face will shine on them, as we see in verse 1. Make his face shine on us. So what does it mean for the Lord's face to shine on them? Well, God's face shining on the people is that God is looking on them with favor. That's why the menorah in the tabernacle is so important, as it symbolizes that God is present and watching over them. They know that when the face of the Lord is shining over them, that they are safe, and he will provide for their every need. Now, the Israelites knew that they were special, they were God's chosen people, and that God dwelt amongst them in the tabernacle. He was always with them. This goes right back to their forefather Abraham, when God chose him and blessed him in Genesis chapter 12, making a covenant promise, saying, I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. And then in the second verse of this song, the psalmist then reminds them that the covenant promise to Abraham was not confined to them, the direct descendants of Abraham, but also God promised, and all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. As God's face shines on the Israelites, it's a beacon to the rest of the world that God is the Lord of all creation and blesses those who come into his presence and worship him. So that your ways may be made known on the earth. The people, as they sang, would be mindful of God's greatness and his provision and protection of his people. He brought them out of slavery through the wilderness, protecting them from the enemies of God who sought to stop them, and finally has brought them into the promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey. The psalm is a song of great hope and faith in the Lord. But as we read the Old Testament, whilst God blesses the people, they fail to be a blessing to all nations. Where God's salvation should have been available to all and all nations to be blessed, the Israelites became a block to that light. But the hope of God's blessing and the hope of God's salvation to be made known to all nations is still their prayer. And we see this hope becoming reality. When Jesus was 8 days old and taken into the temple in accordance with the law and recounted for us by Luke in his book in chapter 2, we have Simeon, a devout and righteous man at the temple, who took the baby Jesus in his arms and he prayed over him. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. We have seen the salvation of the Lord. We look back on Jesus on this earth and we see the hope of salvation, of being brought into the family of God, to know redemption from our sins and to know eternal life in him. It's not coming to the temple where we see the menorah symbolizing the light of God's light, the light of God's face, but we see Jesus stepping into this world. The disciple John calls Jesus the light of the world. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world, he says. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. The light has come into the world and brings salvation. And as Peter said in his first sermon in Acts, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. So we can make this psalm our own, praying God's blessing for his face to shine on us so that his ways might be made known and his salvation made known among the nations. Now this is a challenging concept. So when we pray for God's blessing, what do we pray for? What is it we're asking? Dr. Paul Brand was a doctor in India and was one of the discoverers of that leprosy was a disease of the nerves where the extremities no longer send signals to the brain, which trigger the natural defense mechanisms for us to heal. Now he and Philip Yancey wrote a book about this and how pain can actually be a good thing as it alerts us to the things that what is going wrong. And that includes the pain of this world, which is caused by sin or natural disasters, all these things that go on in our lives. They called their book Pain, The Gift Nobody Wants, which really speaks into this me culture. What I want when we pray. This is the culture that we have that is dominated by me and my comfort. But even more telling was when they came to release the book in the United States. The publishers made them change the name of the book by omitting one word, pain, because people won't buy it if it's all about pain. In 2013, Time magazine published an article which talked about the baby boomers as the me generation. That's me, I'm a baby boomer. And their children, as in my children, the millennials, are the me generation, and how technology has exacerbated this. Now, once upon a time, we would take pictures to remember famous people that we'd seen, or places that we'd visited, or historical sites. But now, we take photos of me with a famous person, or me at that location, at that famous location or historical site. Now, the danger is that this seeps into our prayers, and we pray for things that make us feel good, that make us comfortable, make our lives easier. How often have we driven into a car park and as we drive round and round looking for a space, we offer up that prayer. Lord, please give me a space to park. And then miraculously, somebody pulls out of a space and we nab it as quickly as we can before anyone else can. And as we park, we let out that, thank you, Lord. Phew. But what if another car's driving around the same car park, looking for that elusive space, and is also driven by a Christian who's also making that same prayer? So, which prayer was answered? Who was blessed? Now, I'm not saying that God does not provide or care for our daily lives. We know for a fact that he does. As Jesus taught his disciples to pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. So in bringing about his kingdom, his will, part of that is actually about our daily needs that God provides. But the question is not about how or what God provides, but it is why he provides it. Now, culturally, we can be so focused on material things, but blessing is not in our material wealth, but it's how we use our privileges. As a church, and Chris prayed for our mission partners, as a church we take the opportunity to partner with these mission partners through financial giving and prayer, as they share the good news of Jesus, guiding people to Jesus through God's word, and also providing practical, compassionate ministry. How can we do more to shine the light of Jesus in the world as we see persecution and suffering in the world? And meeting as a church, building each other up, encouraging one another, uniting in praise and worship, this is a source of great blessing to us. As the church, we can then bring blessing to others as we support each other spiritually and practically. Our desire too is that as a church, we bless those in the community around us as we shine of the light of Jesus into here in Wokingham. So how do we do more? So as we sing this song, as we make this our song, we need to include verse 2, so that God's blessing to us is so that he can bless others through us. So as we pray, we need to remember that the blessings that we receive are not just for our comfort, but for sharing with others. And the greatest blessing that we have is knowing Jesus. The psalmist then moves on and leads us in the refrain, which is repeated in verses 3 and 5. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. As the people sing this song, God's face shining on them motivates them to praise the Lord for his great deeds, for the certainty of his future blessing and his salvation. So how much more then shall we sing this song? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. How can we not sing God's praise? The Lord has let his face shine in the world and brings his salvation to all peoples. Not just the Israelites, not just the modern day Jews, but to all people from all nations, from every tribe and tongue. So this brings us to the top of the tower. Verse 4. May the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you rule the peoples with equity and guide the nations of the earth. The children of Israel were privileged to be chosen by God, for him to dwell amongst them. He not only dwelt amongst them, but he spoke to them. He gave them the Ten Commandments, the law that revealed to them how they should live as God's people. And he also spoke through all the prophets. The law is perfect, but they were not. Although they knew the right thing to do, they failed. And yet, the light of the menorah still shone in the temple, and they still sought the Lord's blessing, knowing that the Lord is just and merciful, and that living in his presence brings joy. But where the Israelites failed to live in the light, in God's great mercy, Jesus, the light of the world, stepped down into the world to bring God's justice and salvation. The disciple John says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. We were out with both my son and daughter last night, and I did mention the fact that I've got to find some illustrations that involve my daughter, because all my illustrations are about me and my son. I think that's a very boy thing, don't you think? But Andy and I, many years ago, we did a sailing course down in Southampton. And one of the exercises that we had to complete was night sailing. Having never done this before, it was a very, very weird experience. It is so dark out on the sea at night. And when you're trying to navigate, looking for your destination, coastlines are either just blackness or a myriad of confusing lights. So this is where the Admiralty charts come in very useful, because they show that the lights for guidance have different colours and flash with different sequences, so you can tell them apart, you can spot them. The lighthouse on Roca Pier, guiding ships into the entrance of the harbour at Sunderland, has a white flash every 5 seconds, according to the chart, which is the yellow ring at the top. So it says FL5S, which tells you it's a flashing light every 5 seconds. And because it doesn't give a colour, it's a white light. Without this, it would be impossible to locate the safe harbour in the darkness of the night. But you know, life's a bit like that too, isn't it? In this dark world, there are so many guiding lights in the world trying to lead us, and yet there is only one true light, one true guide to safety. We're told that happiness lies in following so many different routes, whether that's in sexual freedom, the right to decide our own time of death, our own gender, that money will solve all our problems, that status is the way to eternal happiness. The list goes on and on. There are also spiritual guides out there that guide us to heaven through dedication to works, ticking off the achievements to holiness, or the freeing oneself from this world. But there is only one true light, Jesus. He is the guide for all nations, and it is only in him that the nations will be glad and sing for joy, in verse 4. Only Jesus has died for our sins and rose from the grave and is now seated with the Father in heaven. He is the light of God. And we, the church, are his body. As the Apostle Paul writes to the church in Corinth in 1 Corinthians 12, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. And then in Matthew's Gospel, and the account of the Sermon on the Mount, in chapter 5, Jesus says, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Now, the you in these verses is plural. This is one of the problems with English translations, is we don't have a plural you. So the you in these verses is plural, it's not singular. So as we sing this psalm as a congregation, as a church, as the body of Christ, we lift up that light for all to see. And this is a great encouragement, as it is like many, many candles burning, combining to give the greater light. It's like singing in the choir. This is a song, so we sing it together. We sing it in the choir, where the psalm is not about the individual. It's not dependent on me. It's not my song. It's not a solo. But just as Jesus taught us to pray, Our Father, so too this song is about our praise, our prayer for God's blessing, for his face to shine. So it doesn't matter if we feel that our light is flickering or is not burning quite as brightly. It's together that we point to the true light of Jesus. And then in the psalm, we descend down to the other side of the tower. And we sing those praises again. We pick up the refrain in verse 5. Again, may the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. And when we reach the bottom, in verse 6 and 7, we rejoice knowing that God has blessed us. He has provided the way of salvation in Jesus, the light of the world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have provided a way of salvation. You have shone your light into this world through Jesus. And Lord, we pray as we meet as a church, as we go out into the world, Lord, that you would shine your light through us, Lord, that people around us would come to know Jesus, that they would come to know that he is the safe harbor, he is the safe haven, that they need to come to him. And Lord, we just pray that many people will do so. We pray that you would bless this church, Lord. We pray that you would bless this town through the ministry of your word. In Jesus' name, amen.